Amen. Well, I'm happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Been coming to Sunday night services for many, many years now. And it's still an honor and a privilege to be in the house of the Lord on a Sunday evening. There's no place I'd rather be. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19 read, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it?" If the Lord were to do a new thing, would we receive it? If the Lord were to do a new thing, how would we receive it? "I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it?" Perhaps we've heard a message on these verses in the past. We've heard that He's a God of new things. But I ask tonight, have we not only heard it, but have we believed it? Not only heard it, but have we received it? What we are used to is comfortable. We know what to expect. We found our place in the flow. If the Spirit ushered in a new thing, would we know it? Or are we so locked into what is that what could be, what He would usher in, what He would do would be held off by our contentedness? What I ask tonight, is comfort the gauge by which we accept or reject the new thing? Concerning the new thing for church, and that's maybe where your mind's at right now, concerning a new thing for a married couple, concerning a new thing for a home, concerning a new thing, whatever it is tonight, the individual, concerning the new thing, is comfort the gauge by which we accept or reject the new thing of God? "I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it?" Question mark. Shall you not know it? That is to know or to learn. It's to perceive. It's to see and find out and discern. To distinguish, to know by experience. Not only to know about it, but to know by experience. To recognize, admit, acknowledge, and confess. It is to consider the new thing of God. It's to be acquainted with the new thing of God. Let it be asked tonight, what if the Lord did a new thing in your child and the child longs for the house of the Lord? Yes, even Sunday nights and Tuesday nights and Friday nights and youth camp and kids camp and on. What if? What if the Lord did a new thing in your spouse? Would the new fire be welcomed? What if the Lord did a new thing in you, with you? Is comfort the gauge by which we accept or reject the new thing? What if the Lord did a new thing in His church? What if it looked different? What if it sounded different? What if it even felt different? I want to ask tonight, would we pack up? Would we walk out on this house? Would we turn to aimless wandering, searching for what was? So locked in, comfort, the gauge. "Behold, I do a new thing," says the Lord. Will you not know it? Will you not have it? Will you not be acquainted with it? Will you not embrace it? Will you not throw your life towards it? Are we willing to let go to obtain? Are we willing to embrace new adventure? Are we willing to feel uncomfortable? Is our cry, Lord, we are so desperate for what you desire. You see, the Lord has not stopped creating, and the Lord has not given up on new things. You might be here tonight and you've given up on new things, or you don't want new things, or you don't know how to handle new things, but God wants new things, and he knows how to handle new things. He knows how to usher in new things. What he's looking for is a people that will embrace it, a people that will get acquainted with it, a people that will throw their lives into it, that won't only hear about it, but they will receive it, and they'll run with it. The comfort won't be the gauge. The first question won't be, okay, God, what's this going to take? What's it going to look like? What's it going to sound like? Is it going to mess with my life, my comfort? Instead of saying, God, you want to do a new thing, I'm in. Could the answer be that simple? Why do we make it complex? Lord, I'm in. Number one, tonight, he is a God of new things. You know that he's a God of new wine? He's a God of new vision. He's a God of new conquest. He's a God of new mission, new purpose. He's a God of new doors. This is the God we serve. We ask him for a new thing. We ask him to do what he wants to do. And then when he comes, will we know it? When he comes, will he find receptive hearts? Receptive schedules. The Voice Bible reads, don't revel only in the past, or spend all your time recounting the victories of days gone by. Watch closely. I am preparing something new. It's happening now, even as I speak, and you're about to see it. Is that the cry? I want what you are preparing, Lord. I want to recognize and truly be a part of what is happening now. Is that the heart beating and burning in us? I want to ask that tonight. Is that our true desire? Or is comfort the gauge? What we know is comfortable. The pattern is comfortable. The routine is comfortable. The way it looks and sounds and feels. Jack Hayford said these words. When the Lord asks, shall you not know it? He is saying, do you want to open yourself to my new thing? Are you willing to embrace it? This verb, know, in the Hebrew language is far more than cerebral awareness of insight. It has to do with the total giving of yourself, as in the husband-wife relationship within marriage. This knowing is a total receptivity, a total embrace. The Lord is saying, I'm going to do a new thing. Will you embrace it? Will you receive it into your life? Although I didn't know what the new thing was, my heart immediately responded, yes, Lord, I want to be open to whatever you do. I want to be available to your time for me in my world. If in my world you're going to do something new, then there's every reason for me to believe there's something new you want to do in me to prepare me for such a time. I believe that if God says he's going to do a new thing, then it's going to have a relationship to his people. To you and to me. It's not for us to watch as spectators. The Lord wants to imprint it on our lives. He wants to take the new thing and work it in us. And it'll be far more than just sensation or novelty. It will be abiding, durable. It will be something that is workable and practical for us. When the Lord said to me, I'm going to do a new thing in the earth, I knew that it involved not just planet Earth, but the soul of this human being, me, fashioned from the dust of the ground, as were each of us. He is a God of new things. Let's be open, unlocked, available. How about not only available, how about excited? Excited about the new adventure in God, about the new thing. Excited to see what it looks like, what it sounds like. Excited to experience what it feels like. Excited to be uncomfortable. Number two, consider the new. The Knox Bible reads, do not remember those old things, he says, as if you had eyes for nothing but what happened long ago. I mean to perform new wonders. Even now they are coming to the birth. Surely you will understand at last. There's a song I play often in our home and in our vehicles. And every time I put the song on, the environment goes crazy. My kids are dancing. Kids that are visiting are dancing, singing the song. Anyone that was at youth camp knows it because I kept playing it. God is doing something new. It's a Liberian gospel song I got introduced to by a pastor. The pastor's now in Belgium. I downloaded that. You might think I'm crazy, but that song is amazing. It's off the hook. And so we just keep playing it. Anytime, you can ask anybody that's been in my house or in the vehicle, as soon as we hit play, the environment changes. The excitement, the joy that fills the room, fills the vehicle. God is doing something new. God is doing something new. It repeats it probably 12,000 times. God is doing something new. You may not be able to see, but God is doing something new. You know, the truth is, sometimes the older we get, the less excited we get, the less adventurous we get. Isn't that true? Show of hands, come on. The older we get, the less excited we get. Christmas, oh, for the excitement of a child. Birthday, oh, for the excitement of a child. New adventure, it's so beautiful, the excitement of a child. Off to that person's house again, the excitement of a child. Matthew chapter 18, verses 2 to 4 in the Passion Translation, Jesus called a little one to his side and said to them, learn this well. Ask tonight, can we learn this well? Unless you dramatically change your way of thinking and become teachable and learn about heaven's kingdom realm with the wide-eyed wonder of a child, you will never be able to enter in. Whoever continually humbles himself to become like this gentle child is the greatest one in heaven's kingdom realm. Children are willing to push off comfort, aren't they? To try anything new. Our main text, the Amplified Bible reads, do not earnestly remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it? And will you not give heed to it? You see, it's very clear in the text. The Lord tells us where our consideration should be. He tells us where our attention should be. It's on the new thing. It's clear as day. You want to flip through translations? Let's do it. He shows us where the consideration should be. Neither consider the things of old. You see, what happens when we set our consideration and our attention on the former things, we lose our taste for what is new. We don't want the new thing. We don't want to try the new food. We don't want to try the new fare. We don't want to see the new lights. We don't want to hear the new sound. We don't want to sing the new songs. We don't want the new schedule. We don't want the new church service. We don't want the new relationship. We don't want... Will you not know it? Will you not give heed to it? When we set our consideration on former things, we become agitated with the new. Complaint begins to foster. Words that should not be cross our lips, and actions that should not be become our new manner. Have we not heard what the word says? Woe to those at ease in Zion. The message, forget about what's happened. I love it. Just forget it. Don't keep going over old history. How many conversations are we going to have about old history? I thought I dealt with all that in school, you know. It's amazing. People can stand there and tell you what happened in a church where they were at and used 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. And say, what are you doing now? How God using you? I don't know, but this is how he used me then. Listen, you are who you are today. This is now. We don't dwell on the past. God is saying, put your attention here. Don't just get caught up in all that old stuff. This is not always easy embracing the new. I had a conversation recently just talking about worship music and how it's changed, you know. Man, the people couldn't handle it when the hymns were out the door. And some ran off and they're still singing hymns because they can't embrace the new thing. And so they don't have the new wine. Because they weren't willing. They weren't willing to throw their life into the new thing God was doing in the earth. It continues, it says, be alert and be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? The Living Bible, forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Do we actually believe that tonight? Do you actually believe it, or do we read it and go, I don't know if he can do it? You know what happened 10 years ago? You know what happened in the Pentecostal movement? You know what happened in 1854? No, I don't. I want to know what's going to happen right now and into the future. And I trust that's your heart. We can't go back and relive the old days. They were glorious days. Listen, I've been in some amazing church services. There are things you do long for, things you do remember. But we have to say, God, you're doing something new. And so we're going to run with it. I trust we can receive this tonight. Forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a brand new thing. See, I have already begun. Don't you see it? And I would say to this church, God has already started. It has already begun. And I want to be clear tonight that when God does a new thing, it is always in line with his word. He will never do a new thing that violates his word. And so we're not running around just embracing all new things for the sake of embracing all new things. But when we know it's in line with his word and what he desires to do, we embrace it. What could be the reason or the lack for excitement concerning the new thing God is doing? You know, many things. It could be that we simply feel we don't need it. It could be that it might mess with our schedules. It might be louder than we like or brighter than we like. Messing with the schedules is a big thing. You know, we want revival, but man, if God showed up and we were in church 7 nights a week, how many are in? I'm just saying, you know, I believe it was Leonard Ravenhill that said, we don't have revival because we're content to live without it. Because it's like a soccer practice Tuesday night, you know what I'm saying? Well, let's keep going. Number three. When he does a new thing, it often requires that we too do a new thing. It's not all on God. When he does a new thing, it often requires that we too do a new thing. Smith Wigglesworth said these words, "The secret of spiritual success is a hunger that persists. It is an awful condition to be satisfied with one's spiritual attainments. God was and is looking for hungry, thirsty people." I don't know about you, every time I come into the church, every time I come into a service, I'm expecting something new. I'm expecting God to do something new, and I'm getting a lot of new things. I don't know about you. He's doing a lot of new things in me. New things in my family. Just new things. And that's available to every single one of us. That's available to us on the corporate level. God is saying, I want to do new. I'm already doing it. The question is, will you know it? Will you perceive it? Will you engage in it? Will you become acquainted? Will you become intimate with it? Will you give your life to it? Will you serve in it? Will you love in it? Will you worship in it and praise in it? Will you attend in it? Well, if church is like the old days, I'd go back to church. The church is still there. Behold, I do a new thing. Leonard Ravenhill, I love this one. The opportunity of a lifetime needs to be seized during the lifetime of the opportunity. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Now's the time of his visitation. We only get one lifetime. I don't want to spend my lifetime dwelling on the past, looking at the past, considering the past, and miss out on everything God wants to do. And these words, we can all receive these. It's beautiful. When was the last time you did something for the first time? Just think about it in your routine. When's the last time you did something for the first time? You're trying to think, aren't you? You're stumped. When's the last time you did something for the first time? It's a good question to ask ourselves. When the Lord does a new thing, it does often require that we too do a new thing. Number four tonight, come with great expectation. Can I just encourage us all tonight, no matter how old we are? Let's come with great expectation. Let's drive and arrive full of holy expectation. Let's just get fired up and believe that God is actually going to do new things in our midst, that he's going to perform miracles in our midst. Not coming to church like, it's just going to be another service. Probably going to sing that old song again. They're probably going to sing it way too many times. My heart burns. How many more times can you sing it? I get it. I could sing that song forever. Let's get caught up in the new thing of God. We have to believe. We have to believe. You see, where there is expectation, there is visitation. I wonder what the King of Kings feels when he comes into the house on Sunday morning. You know he's here right now. But when he comes in, I think he's here. He's just geared up. We probably can't see him. I don't know if he's giving you eyes to see him. But he's here, and he's so fired up. What's this worship and praise going to be like today? And some of us are like, I got my Starbucks. Just saying. You see, that's one new thing that is not God's new thing. Coffee in church. Not trying to step on toes. Although I really am. And so please just receive it. The atmosphere in his house should be one of incredible expectancy. New converts, receive this list tonight. You can even repeat it and just say it and believe it. New converts, new miracles, new relationships, new wisdom and understanding, new testimonies, new attitudes, new mindsets, new fire, new vision, new purpose, new mission, new conviction, new wonders that he means to perform, these new wonders that he has declared, this new thing that he's saying, it's already in motion. The new thing for your family, it's already in motion. New thing for your relationships, already in motion. New thing for your business and occupation, it's already in motion. New thing for Christ City. I don't know if you know, but it's already in motion. That's the truth. He's just asking us tonight, very simply, will you know it? It all comes down to this one question at the end of it all. He says, will you know it? And we answer him. He said, I'm not going to feed him words. That's all right. You answer him with actions. Will you know it? In the morning, concerning your own life, why not rise and embrace the new day that he has made? Rejoicing and being glad in it, excited about what new thing he has in store for you. His mercies are new every morning. That's still in the book. A.W. Tozer said these words, the reason why many are still troubled, still seeking, still making little forward progress is because they haven't come to the end of themselves. We're still trying to give orders and interfering with God's work within us. Comfort, Lord, that's the gauge. But I want to work in comfort, Lord. I want to work in your home. I need comfort in the home. We're still trying to interfere. Are we trying to interfere with God's work? Are we willing to let go to obtain? Are we willing to embrace new adventure? Are we willing to feel uncomfortable? Is our cry, Lord, we so desperately want what you desire. Again, I say the Lord has not stopped creating and the Lord has not given up on new things. Isaiah 43, verses 18 to 21 in the New King James Version. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. Again, the message reads, be alert and be present. Can I encourage all of us not only to be present, but to be alert? Be alert and be present. Be present and be alert. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. He is making a road through the desert and rivers in the Badlands. I say tonight, make that the cry of your heart. Lord, increase my expectancy level. Maybe you look at your own life and your expectancy level is too low and you don't know how to increase it. You know what? Just start focusing on the Lord and things are going to change. Start focusing on the one who brings the new thing. Start focusing on the one who has ordained the new thing, who has commanded the new thing, who has set the new thing in motion, and who's going to take care of the new thing. He's going to shepherd the new thing. He's going to guard the new thing. And so we set our eyes on him. Cry out and pray and intercede and declare the new things of God. The worship team can return tonight. Revelation 3 verses 14 and 15 in the Passion Translation. Write the following to the messenger of the congregation in Laodicea. For these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know all that you do, and I know that you are neither frozen in apathy nor fervent with passion. How I wish you were either one or the other. We're not spectators. We're not just in the middle. God's calling us to be useful. Be full of fire and full of passion and full of zeal. To this house, I really feel the word of the Lord is Revelation 3, 7 to 13. Write the following to the messenger of the congregation in Philadelphia. For these are the solemn words of the Holy One, the true One, who has David's key, who opens doors that none can shut, and who closes doors that none can open. I know all that you've done. Now I've set before you a wide open door that no one can shut. For I know that you possess only a little power, yet you've kept my word and haven't denied my name. Watch how I deal with those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews but are not. They're lying. I will make them come and bow down at your feet and acknowledge how much I've loved you because you passionately kept my message of perseverance. I will also keep you from the hour of proving that is coming to test every person on earth. But I come swiftly, so cling tightly to what you have so that no one may seize your crown of victory. For the one who is victorious, I will make you to be a pillar in the sanctuary of my God, permanently secure. I will write on you the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem descending from my God out of heaven. And I'll write my own name on you. So the one whose heart is open, let him listen carefully to what the Spirit is now saying. We can stand tonight. Perhaps you know that you need to step out of your seat tonight, crying out for a new expectation. There's an opportunity in these closing moments. Lord, help my expectancy level. Would you step out of your seat if you've been setting your consideration and attention on the old things rather than the new thing? The new thing that God is endeavoring to do, even as a prophetic act, declaring, I will do a new thing, saying, Lord, I'm in. Because there is new fire in the house, and there is a new day in the house of the Lord. There's new power in the house of the Lord. There are new wonders to behold, ever unfolding in the house of the Lord. And as we walk in relationship with our God, and there is fresh vision. And for you tonight, you might say, there's no way. But can I declare, no matter who we are, no matter how old we are, there is fresh purpose. And there is new wine flowing in the house of the Lord. And God is simply saying to every single one of us tonight, all of us, he is saying, do not remember the things of old. Can we leave tonight with that in our mind? Do not remember the things of old. He says, as if you had eyes for nothing but what happened long ago, I mean to perform new wonders. Even now they are coming to birth. And can I just say, God desperately wants each person. He knows your name. He knows your address. He knows exactly who you are. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows what you're made of, and he needs you for the new thing. He hasn't counted you out. He hasn't just grabbed the select few. I know that God's not restricted to save by many or by few, but he wants everybody involved. He's not just going, just this person, just this person, just this person, just this person. God is doing something new across the planet. And we've heard it time and time again for this house because we're responsible here. This is our address. And he said, I'm doing something new. And so we got to run with it. So let's not let comfort be the gauge. Let's just open up and say, God, have your way. You do what you do best. New things. You do what you do best. You create, God. Create. Team's just going to begin to lead. If you need to respond to the Lord, now's the time. Come on, stir that inside of you. New expectancy for new things. New expectancy for new things, Lord.